Welcome back to 32 Fans. Not in 32 days. This is an emergency podcast. So you've recorded a bunch without me. I think we're actually going to post this before some of them. But I've been absent. I've been very busy at work. And the fans are upset about it. And Bill Simmons had Matthew Berry on his podcast the other day. And there was a discussion about a Bill Simmons column, one of the first columns he wrote for Page 2 on ESPN in 2001, called How to Win at Fantasy something. I don't know, because the website is sort of broken. So it says How to Win at Fantasy, and then a bunch of characters, dot, 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 and.
And annoy people. Yeah. And annoy people.
Probably something like that.
Yeah, but yeah. A lot of the old Page 2 articles, and certainly the Grantland stuff, is like dead. It's just dead links. Like, people were asking for an old Grantland podcast in our group, and it's just not findable.
Does not exist.
It's not on the internet.
So it's kind of, so just to give you an idea of how dated this episode is, first of all, this happens in a pre-9/11 world. This was posted August 31st, 2001.
I think I know where I was that day.
Yeah. Well, let's just read the first, so here's how it starts. Here are 25 tips for winning your fantasy
Wait,
football
can we
draft.
Say why we're even talking about this, though?
Yeah. Okay.
Right, because Bill Simmons had Matthew Berry on
his podcast.
I
literally just
week.
Said that 2 minutes ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was fixing something. But
so you weren't listening 1 minute to the podcast.
I was not listening as usual.
It's okay. I haven't listened to like the episodes that you've been doing without me, although I sort of listened to like the very beginning and the very end just to make sure like the tracks.
Oh, you should listen to the new segment, Make Fun of Alex Chester.
Well,
it's a hit.
So it was a reference you made at the end of the Seattle episode coming up makes me a little bit nervous about what's going on in the middle of that episode. But I'm not gonna listen.
No, it's nothing so bad. Right. Nothing that
okay.
He just sort of destroyed your essence. It's not so bad. Yeah, so this is all Simmons stuff is very. It's like all Bill Simmons stuff is like it would fit in today at Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
Except like the spelling is probably better here. But people have changed a lot in 17 years.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, so some of this is not really fair to blame Simmons. So let me give you an example.
I'm not blaming Simmons. This was revolutionary.
Yeah.
This was
hold
like,
up. So let's just this read. This is how the article starts. Here are 25 tips for winning your fantasy football draft, even if they could potentially cost you some friends in the process. Number one, do your homework. Buy at least 2 books and magazines.
I still buy a magazine if I'm at the airport in July
you?
Or August.
Why? Why would you need
it's,
4
you
month
know, it's,
old information?
It's old and it's useless. It is. I like having the schedule. I like it's like a nice laminated schedule.
Oh my god, that's such an insane.
Schedule.
I mean, so I've mentioned before on this podcast in my longtime fantasy football league, which existed even before, is older than this column we're making fun of.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very old man in our fantasy football league named Ari Diskin. I think he's in his late 60s, and he shows.
Yeah, you mentioned him recently.
He shows up with magazines. I don't know if he's doing it in 2018, but he was doing it in like 2015.
You shouldn't show up with magazines, although I like reading. I like the actual tangible magazine, even though they're useless. Sports Illustrated's, because I've bought them in, you know, airports like 12 years in a row.
Yeah.
And Sports Illustrated's is so bad always. And it's like smaller. The magazine I bought last year like had IDPs in the draft. Like, this is your default?
Yeah.
Like in the 1% of leagues, I think, play with IDPs.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because if you sit down at a fantasy football draft and whip out a magazine, it's almost like sitting down at the poker table and saying, like, so guys, which is better? I forget. Is it a straight or a flush? Except that
it would literally be like reading Theory of Poker at the poker table, reading a poker book.
No, I think a poker book is more advanced than like a.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, it would be like poker for idiots, right? Like an actual like David Sklansky poker book would be way more advanced. That's
yeah, for sure. But yeah, so it's kind of crazy how dated this is. By the way, so did you play fantasy football that year in the 2001 football season, or were you mourning?
I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
I guess I wasn't cool enough to. There was one league in school. We were both abroad that year. I don't think I was invited to the league. And again, we had literally just gotten there like 2 days earlier. So it was sort of like who you knew coming in. So I don't think I was invited. But then by like baseball and college basketball season, I was running the pools, like the March Madness and the baseball. But I actually think this is the only year from, you know, of the last like zillion years where I didn't play fantasy football. But I had to hear our mutual friend Stu, who's been in your fantasy league for 20 years. His thing is still going around telling everyone how good his team is and who's on his team and listing the whole team. So he did that to every single person in our school all day, every day in 2001.
And how did he finish that year?
Well, I can tell you who's on his team still from 17 years ago. He had David Boston.
Okay.
You could double check this. I don't think he won it, but I know he had David Boston because he talked about like David Boston basically becoming the new Jerry Rice.
Okay.
But we can ask him if he remembers his team. But this was Simmons on the podcast starts talking about like how nerdy it is that like it must be awful for Barry that everyone has to like talk about their fantasy team a minute after describing in detail his 2007 fantasy.
Yeah,
team.
Of course. And he's like famously atrocious at fantasy football.
Simmons in that podcast with Barry
had so many
must have
comments.
Listed like 30 different like his idea in a one quarterback league of just buying nine and it's an auction so they could just drive the price up on any decent quarterback like corner the market so nobody else can have the like the Philip Rivers and Matthew Staffords of the world.
Yeah,
it's a great
he
plan.
Was passionately against PPR for some reason which I don't understand.
I understand, by the way, if you want to say half point PPR is the best.
Yeah, that's what
I understand.
Yeah.
But the same guy who like has been yelling for years that AL only is checkers, is chess and MLB, you know, full MLB baseball is checkers and AL only is chess. Like, how could you say PPR? First of all, one quarterback leagues are checkers, but I understand we're not there yet. We haven't it's definitely gaining popularity, but we haven't converted the Matthew Berrys of the world, let alone the Bills.
Yeah, and by the way, the only argument against it, which is the dumbest argument, is there's not two quarterbacks in real football. Yeah, you know what also there is? There's offensive linemen and defenses and there's like
No, by the way, that's I got downvoted in the league this year when I wanted to switch to two quarterbacks and then I quit the league and then they begged me to come back, but didn't switch that rule. I lost 11-1. Last year, I lost the same vote 7-5. This year, I lost 11-1. And one guy's like, well, there aren't two quarterbacks on the field. Yeah, and you play fantasy hockey, you have two goalies. I don't think there are two goalies in the NHL, moron. Also, penalty minutes in fantasy hockey are good, but they're bad in real life.
I've never understood that about hockey.
There's no real defense
I didn't play fantasy football in 2001 because we were I was studying in Israel for the year and like this was like way before these smartphones or Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you were in a school with nerds and no internet. I was they were too cool to invite me.
We did have in the basement these like Apple IIe computers that had like this internet service. All you could do was like send and receive emails, but it was like an Apple IIe screen where it's all like black and green, you know.
Yeah, you were in a more academic school than
and
me.
And somebody, academic because it didn't have the internet. And somebody found a way to manipulate it where you could actually get onto the regular internet. And you could go to like ESPN.com and you would just see a text version of the website.
But somebody probably narked to the people who run the school and they fixed it.
No, I don't think the school really cared. Right. I don't remember. But anyway, it was in like a. But yeah, so I had played in 2000, which was the inaugural year of this longtime league. Shamari actually was not, Stu was not in the league that year. In 2000, the season started before school started.
Yeah.
And so we did the draft after week one.
Yeah.
So week one, Dante Culpepper rushes for 3 touchdowns in week one. That was the year that, of course, would end with 41-0 in the Meadowlands for the Vikings in the NFC Championship game. I remember we were drafting, and I was like, you know, at night I had to call every person when it was their pick to tell them it was their pick. And I remember Mark Plout. He was picking one spot ahead of me.
Moshe Plout now.
Yeah, yes. He was picking one spot
ahead. Does he know what a podcast is? Does Mark know what a podcast is?
You know, I actually saw him last month for the first time in 15 years.
I'll pretend that's surprised, but you did tell me that.
Yeah.
You didn't tell him. I just to give an idea of like how this, I would bet all my money that he's never heard of a podcast.
I would think he's heard of a podcast. I'm not
sure. My mom is his mom's boss. I will ask my mom to ask Drazel Plout if Mark Plout has ever heard of a podcast, and I'll get back to you.
Okay. You do that. So Plout was picking one spot behind me and I called him. It was like the second or third round and he said, or one spot ahead of me. And he said he was unsure of quarterback between Culpepper and somebody else. And he says to me, well, you're a Vikings fan. What do you think? And I said, oh, a quarterback's not going to get 3 rushing touchdowns. That's totally unsustainable. Don't pick Culpepper. Of course he didn't, but he did have like 30 passing touchdowns. So yeah, so I got him at the very next pick and I rode him and Emmett Smith and Eddie George to a title that year. So that was pretty good.
Eddie George. All right. So Simmons.
So then I had nobody in 2001, and then nobody in 2002, and then our league came back 2003. So yeah. So Simmons, we're gonna read this column and make fun of it. And if you don't like this, then you'll get a podcast without me tomorrow. So.
Yeah. All right. So his second piece of advice after books and magazines.
Yeah.
The forced hangover.
We didn't finish making fun of number one. So number one.
Okay. Keep going.
Do your homework. So this is what he means by do your homework. Buy at least 2 books and magazines. Read the USA Today's football reports.
Yes.
Check the Sporting News comprehensive team reports every week.
These aren't even so bad, to be fair. You could probably still do these things in theory.
I mean, no, why would you be reading any, like, hard copy paper or anything?
Yeah, but you could go to their website and read it.
Well, but the crazy thing is, then he ends number one by saying, the previous paragraph makes it seem like you can't have a life and win a fantasy football league, but you can't have a life and win a fantasy football league. Like, the amount of preparation that he describes in number one is a million times less than the worst fantasy football player I know would do today.
Yeah,
So are we all bigger
you
nerds?
You can, by the way, if you like fantasy football, you're like, yeah, no, you can have a life and play fantasy football. You can have a life and play fantasy baseball.
Partially true,
like,
yeah.
I check my fantasy baseball team like 8 times a day. Fantasy football, there are days where you have nothing to do, basically.
Yeah, fantasy football is manageable because it's a once-a-week activity. Yeah.
All right, number two, the forced hangover. On the night before the draft, drag the other team owners out for a pre-draft drinking binge. Oh, yeah, one of those. You know how our wives are going to let us go out 2 nights in a row?
Yeah.
By the way, Bill would also not be allowed to go out 2 nights in a row nowadays. Yeah. You want everyone as hungover as possible on draft day. If they're puking by midnight, that's a good thing. And he lists his bar tactics.
Yeah.
Number one.
And by the way, why? Like most drafts that I go to, people are not sober by like the 10, 20 minutes into the draft anyway. So why are you trying to get them drunk the day before? They'll be drunk at the draft.
Listener Jake Larson every year posts pictures from his draft with his friends, and there's usually someone who dies by the third round. There's a guy who they just they revive with, and he picks Curtis Enos, and then they Rashan Salam, and then they put him back down.
So a couple of years ago in my longtime draft, it was the year after it was Michael Vick's second year in Philadelphia. So he has the previous year, he has the crazy breakout season. And we're a two quarterback league, so top quarterbacks go, the most expensive players. They can approach $100. And I was sort of price enforcing on Michael Vick. Somebody had him at 68, and I'm like, well, that's way too low. So I said 69. And the problem was that I only had $69 left plus the minimums for all my remaining players.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody realized that and said, wait a second, Chester only has, and this is early in the draft. I had two guys on my team. So everybody's like, wait a second, nobody else bid. So that I would be forced to have a team of three players, essentially. and so I was getting Vic for not a terrible price, but the problem is I had literally nobody else. And so I said, screw this, and I proceeded to become extremely not sober over the next half hour. I had literally nothing to do for 2 hours. I was going to wait till the end of the draft to take a bunch of $1 guys. And I remember Robbie Weisenfeld, formerly Superfan Robbie, although we haven't heard from him in a while. He got very pissed at me.
Well, we need Robbie to do a college football podcast before this.
He was mad at me. He said, as the commissioner of the league, I had a duty to stay somewhat sober, even though I wasn't in charge of running the draft, and I had nobody to draft myself, so I didn't really understand that.
Yeah, and, no, I hear what you're saying.
And Robbie ended up engaging in much more illegal activities, or attempting to later on that draft, so.
Okay, all right, so one of Simmons' bar tactics is study everyone's drink tendencies or deficiencies. Yeah. For instance, let's say your buddy Murph, because we all have five buddies named Murph, can't handle Jägermeister shots. Every time he does more than one, he invariably yanks off his shirt, climbs on top of a bar, starts calling himself Richard Williams, and screams, it's Venus's party and no one else is invited. Okay.
That's
by the way,
terrible.
17 years
terrible.
Later.
Yeah.
17 years later, Venus is still playing. It's insane.
Yeah, and she's and her sister are the two greatest players in the world, which is insane. Yeah.
Another piece of advice. If one of your buddies enters the dreaded beer goggle stage and starts checking out some dubious-looking females, encourage him to make a move, even if he's asking, what do you think about a chick who looks like Tony Siragusa in drag?
Would any of that sentence be on ESPN.com today?
I think Juliet Littman would quit that second.
Yeah.
An especially egregious lapse of judgment will leave him making the Troy Aikman face for the entire draft day.
Yeah, I mean, so Simmons was very fratty, bro-y at this time, but
very fratty.
His writing is actually not. I mean, it's pretty entertaining, if we're being honest.
Listen, there's a reason why he owns a $20 million house in Malibu.
Yeah.
Malodorous warfare. After that night of boozing and carousing, show up for the draft without having showered or even having changed your clothes. This only works to your advantage. This only works to your advantage, especially if you reek of stale booze, cigarette smoke, and overwhelming BO, and it's killing everyone else in the room.
Yeah, half the guys in my league have been doing that. I don't even know if it's strategic or not. So.
Appearance is everything. Bring at least 5 fantasy football books and magazines to the draft, even if you haven't read
any
of them.
And again, that's amazing because it's true in the reverse now, as we said. When Ari Diskin shows up with a magazine, you realize. By the way, I want to point out Ari Diskin won our league in 2004, and he's made the playoffs barely in the last 14 years. So.
Yeah, the league I'm in that I left for a little bit, and then they asked me to come back, has an older woman in the league. And she brings a magazine. And like, yeah. I don't think she's done any research until she opens up, pops open the magazine. And it's a, we get together to like eat, but it's an online draft, which also bothers me. Because yeah. more, even if you're just calling out the picks, it's much more fun. And like, it could take 3 hours. And
no, online is terrible. Whatever. You got to do a live draft. That's the fun part of fantasy football.
We but do like, a live draft, but the picking is online, which makes no sense.
Yeah, so everybody's in the room. Yeah, I don't understand that. I really wish Shamaria was here.
Because there's usually like one person.
I really want to know how Shamaria did in that league in your school in 2001. Because he was like so legendarily bad at fantasy football like in the early years. Like, I'm looking at our all-time rankings. Can I just read this to you where he finished each year? His first season, 2003. 2003, dead last. 3-11.
By the way, the only thing nerdier than talking about other people's fantasy teams is ranking the 2003 fantasy skills.
All right, 2003, dead last, 3-11. 2004, finished in ninth place, but 10th in scoring. 2005, finished in ninth place again, 5-9. 2006, finished dead last, 4-10, and last in scoring. 2007, he suddenly got better. So for his first 4 years in the league, he never got higher than like second or third to the bottom. So, yeah, I don't know what he was bragging about in those early seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Simmons ends the thing about magazines. It's all about perception. You want the other owners thinking, good God, look at this guy. I don't have a chance.
Yeah.
And number five, his next piece of advice is just golden. And I'd say holds up in 2018 just as well as it did in 2001.
I don't know what kind of draft
Bring at least two porno mags with you.
Yeah.
At every draft, there are always one or two guys who become distracted by the porno mags and lose their focus. Wait, this always happens? This is like a known thing that there's the one or two guys?
I mean,
at
first
least
of all,
two roto owners.
Have you seen a pornographic magazine in this century?
No.
I'm not saying have you looked at one. Have you seen one like in a newsstand?
No, I haven't seen one like in a store.
Yeah.
I mean, they're behind that white curtain sometimes, but I've...
But I haven't even seen one, I'm saying, at a newsstand in 15
No, minutes. I've never paid attention. I don't think so.
Yeah, so that's probably the most dated thing. Although, look, you could,
At least two roto owners will be done for now. First of all, roto owners? You might even start a, hey, I was looking at that fight. Well, then you should bring one magazine, not two.
Yeah. All right. What's next on his list?
All right, he says bring beer. Number seven, make sure you have a creative team name. Very important.
No.
I would even call this one crucial. If you can fit a joke about somebody else's mom or sister in the team name, do so. Just make sure it's perverted and or incendiary.
Yeah.
For instance, I have decided on a team name this year, but I think I'm doing something involving my buddy Camper's sister and the word Lewinsky. What happened to Camper? You don't hear much about Camper
nowadays. Yeah, Camper. Whatever happened to him? I would like, let's do a 32 fans.
I feel like I could name like 20 of Simmons' friends, but I don't know Camper.
Yeah. I agree with you. That's a very good question. So our league has a no wives rule, but everyone else is open for a constant tournament.
Oh, so you can make fun of people's kids, just not their wives.
Yeah, we have a no wives rule. Correct.
Now your fantasy auction is at your house every year, right?
This year I think it might be at someone else's house, but yeah, it was at my house last year. Yeah.
Uh huh. And you famously make people fly in, even if they live out of state, right?
I lived out of state for most years of this league's existence, and I flew in.
So you make people fly in,
yeah.
And if they can't fly in, you make them get another human being to show up in their stead in the draft. Is that correct?
Yes. You got to have 12 live human beings breathing in the room.
And how many people are not coming this year?
Well,
themselves.
There's a couple people who sort of have brought the same person year after year who's now effectively their co-owner.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I got it.
So, yeah.
What would happen if someone just didn't show up that day?
I mean, that happened a couple of years ago where, like, the day before, someone lied who said they were coming in, and they said, oh, like, my flight got canceled, and it was pretty clear they had never booked a flight. They had just lied.
Yeah, what happened if someone's appendix went out, though? That morning?
Obviously, if you have emergencies, you have emergencies. Although, look, this is a committed league.
I feel like you'd be mad at
that. We had a guy in our league who was drafting from his wedding. So.
Why'd you schedule the draft during a guy's
wedding? Well, I mean, it was his Shavar Bracha, but, you know. So it was like his wedding celebratory dinner. And he sent someone to draft for him in his stead, and that person was like calling him to like get updates and status, and so he was like hiding under the table so people wouldn't see him, saying like, wait a second, what happened? How much did McNabb go for? And by the way, that guy in the league since the very beginning, the only original member to never have won, also an Eagles fan, and in 2017 he won the league and the Eagles won the Super Bowl, so good times for him.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's the
commitment.
Stay cool. If you draft at your own wedding, within 15 years, you'll eventually win a title.
Yes. Stay cool. No matter which pick you draw before the draft, when everyone picks cards or numbers to determine the draft selection, pretend you drew the draft you wanted.
Well, no, I'm not even reading ones that have to do with snake drafts. Yeah. Well, but nobody knew what an auction was. You didn't know what an auction was in 2001. Come on.
If you like the porn one, you're going to love this next one. Number 10. The title is, even if porn has already been introduced, introduce it again. That's the title of number 10. If you're holding the draft at someone's house and the TV is running in the background, wait until your buddy goes to the bathroom and quickly order a three-hour block of the Spice Channel.
I remember the Spice Channel, yeah. I don't think it still exists.
Odds are your buddy won't be upset. He'll probably even stick a tape in so he can record some of the action. Oh, my gosh. Now so we've gone back to, like, the 1980s.
Yeah.
And with porn constantly blaring in the background, at least two owners will be done for the day, especially if they're married.
Yeah. All right.
You know those married guys. They if they see porn, that's it. They're like,
I got a tape. I whip up my VHS, and yeah, there I go.
Where's my VHS? All right. Number 11, Al Bundy Warfare. During the actual draft, keep your hands nestled inside your pants as much as possible. Then periodically stick your hand into the big bowl of Doritos or Ruffles.
No, if you do that, you're out of my league. I'm sorry.
You're gonna get kicked out of the league, yeah. Bill. Don't do that. Don't do that.
That's not like a strategy. That's like the most disgusting thing. By the way,
the same Al Bundy guy literally drafts with John Hamm nowadays.
my 1 year old son. It's a big problem. He at all times sticks his right hand in his diaper. And so we've actually had to go where we only put him in onesies now, because if he wears like a shirt and pants that's separate, his hand is going straight in there. And I really
You do the onesies. Also, some kids, like, once they get to like 1.5 or whatever or 2, they start ripping off their diaper because then they're like able to. So that's you got to do the onesie. By the way, this has been Dad Talk from Kevin Chester. Some actual useful advice. Yeah. You do the onesie.
Yeah.
Number 12. Bring up past triumphs. If you happen to have won the previous year's league, remember to remind everyone else about this fact at least 400 to 500 times during the draft. You can't emphasize this one enough. Also, refer to yourself in third person as the champ as much as possible. When does the champ get to pick again?
How does Bill Simmons have any friends, by the way?
Does anybody want to get another beer for the champ? Yeah. With the third pick in the fourth round, the champ will take Elvis Gerback. This is not going to be a repeat,
Elvis Gerback.
Right. Number 13, target the friend with a gambling problem. Most drafts feature an owner who enjoys gambling a little bit too much. If that's the case and you're holding the draft on a Saturday or Sunday, bring along a sports section with lines for that day's football games. Then, whenever there's a lull before the draft, pull out the paper and say something like, I can't believe USC is only favored by 3. Yo, friend with the gambling problem. Did you see that?
Yeah. Do you have anybody with a gambling problem in your league?
I think...
I have several. I think you know some of the people I'm talking about.
Yeah, so. It's probably me.
No, I have a couple people with, like, serious problems, so...
No, you have people way worse than me, for sure.
Yeah. Only one or two. Anything else good? I think he's starting to wind down. He's at number 14. He's running out of ideas.
Oh, no, he gets the 25. peer pressure always works. Can we hurry this along? I have to go to work in 16 hours. And the old standby. Come on, hurry up. Your sister's waiting for me to come home.
This guy sounds like Big F and Jewish Dick, doesn't he?
Number 17, avoid the phone at all costs. It's a little-known fantasy football rule that no draft can have everyone in the league in attendance at the same time. Hence, you always have the guy who calls in by phone, a.k.a. the turd in the punch bowl.
Yeah, I agree with Simmons about this. He's totally right. Totally agree.
He's on the phone for 3 to 4 hours. Someone has to talk to him. I think in the league, your brother runs a fantasy league that I'm in.
Yeah.
And your brother is in some ways crazier than you about these things. And June is like, all right, we need to get the draft date and time and place locked in, like, in the next 30 minutes.
Well, you know, I quit being commissioner of my league because I was sick of doing that kind of crap.
Oh, you're not commissioner?
Well, everybody else thinks I am, and they're just pretending as if, like, I still am. But I, like, they think it's like I'm bluffing, but I'm really not. I said, like, I will.
Yeah, you
not
said
do
this last year. You said you literally quit the league because they people hadn't submitted their keepers by April 15th, tax day or something.
Yeah, yeah, I got dragged back in, yeah.
And you guys, everyone knows that I've
agreed to be associate commissioner or assistant commissioner, but I don't want to be responsible for all the stupid bullshit, like scheduling a draft day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, number 19, keep up the draft heckling. Heckling everyone else's
picks. I don't care about
just
that. Can we just give the example players and the heckling?
Oh, that's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting to. If someone takes Jake Plummer in the second round, are we in the sixth round? I think I just blacked out. If someone takes LaDainian Tomlinson, too bad you can't draft him in offensive line.
Boy, that Google is the worst possible take, because LaDainian Tomlinson is literally the greatest fantasy player of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was his rookie year, so not a home run by William there.
Yeah, you know what? In that rookie, in that rookie season, he only had 1,600 yards and 10 touchdowns. So
okay,
and he led the NFL in touches.
Yeah, you know, he was probably like the number one or number two fantasy guy. Yeah. If someone takes J.R. Redmond, will you get to count CFL stats as well?
Okay,
someone
serious question. Hold on. Serious question here. J.R. Yeah. Redmond, I would have guessed he was like catcher Mike Redmond's brother. I have no idea who that is.
He was a Patriots running back.
J.R. Redmond was a Patriots running back?
Yeah, he was like the Patriots like third string running back. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Did not know that.
Yeah. If you draft Tyron Wheatley, it's always good to have an actual backup as one of your backups. If someone takes Jamal Anderson, hey, the first guy with a limp has been taken. If someone takes Morton Anderson, is he still in the league? Well, the kicker jokes you're not going to get.
Hold on. Morton Anderson, still in the league. He played another seven seasons.
Yeah.
And he led the league in extra points in 2002 and 2003 at the age of 43, by the way. Yeah, so the Morton Anderson joke backfired at him also.
21, target the whipped guy. There's always one guy at every roto draft. He keeps calling it roto. Nobody ever called fantasy football roto, I don't think.
Wait, hold on. Wait, you skipped over some of these other ones. He says, if someone drafts David Boston, well, at least Arizona's number one wideout is still available. In 2001, as hardcore fantasy football owners will remember.
Oh, okay. So this was David Boston year. That's amazing.
Had 100 catches and led the NFL in 1,600 receiving yards. So he was probably the number one overall receiver.
As previously mentioned.
So Simmons, by the way, makes fun of LaDainian Tomlinson and David Boston, a team that would have won.
The two best guys in the league. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So the guy's whipped. It's usually someone who used to be a guy's guy before he met the girlfriend and she ruins life. Do you think you were ever considered a guy's guy?
Well, I mean, nobody ever had their draft more whipped by a woman than I did in 2004 in this league. And I'm sure I've told you the story, right? Where Jen bailed and... I've told them on the podcast. Tell me.
Probably have, but I don't... Wait. But you've never been considered a guy's guy. Now I've got a question for you. You have to take it seriously.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm a guy's guy?
I mean, define the term.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think in the Bill
you're
Simmons
not a
sense
girl's
of the word,
guy,
think...
so, you know.
No, I'm not a girl's guy. That's true. I once had two female coworkers get into like an actual argument about whether I was like essentially, they didn't use the word guy's guy. I thought it was like. Something. It was essentially guy's guy. I don't remember the exact term.
Yeah.
One said, like, yeah, because he only cares about, like, guys' things. So he's, like, the least feminine person on the planet. The other one's like, yeah, he doesn't drive, though. That's, like, a big one. And his wife, like, has to, like, fix things that break in his house, which was a pretty good argument.
Okay.
So I don't know if I'm a guy's guy or not. Okay. So did your girlfriend make that pick for you? That's a good line for people to say. Simmons says, I thought you were coming out last night, but then I remembered you died 2 years ago. My personal favorite, Simmons says, is should we have a break after round six so the whip guy can call the whip guy's girlfriend or spouse? I think his electronic tracking bracelet is going off. The Albatross.
Wait, hold on. You skipped encourage a sentimental pick. He says, my buddy Stoner is a huge Tampa Bay Bucks fan. Well, his buddy Rob Stone was actually a reporter for the Tampa Bay Bucks. So I don't know if that's a... I don't know if he was a fan.
Yeah,
so much,
I don't know why I caught that. 23, the Albatross. If someone misfires in the early rounds with a shaky pick, keep reminding them of that mistake for the rest of the draft. Eventually, it will haunt them, and they'll start making quick picks just to finish the draft as soon as possible.
Ami Abraham, who used to be in our league, once drafted Josh Scobie. And I don't remember if it was the kicker or the running back, but either way, it was a bad pick early on. And the very first year we had an auction, like the third pick, somebody says Julius Jones, the Cowboys running back.
Yes.
And Ami's opening bid, he screamed out, 80! He won him. Boy, do you remember the first auction you ever did? What year was that?
I actually think the first... I'm not sure. I think the first auction was... I just don't know. I know the first time I did an auction in my current league that does an auction... A guy and his wife were in the league, and she had just had a baby, and she left for a half hour to nurse the baby and had no chance at like 40 good players and still won the league.
Yeah. I mean, one of my issues with fantasy football, I think it's very true, and it's much less fun now than it used to be. And I think the reason is because everybody has the exact same information.
Yeah, Simmons was saying this.
Yeah,
that's why two QB leagues are good, because there isn't a lot of data on them compared to the other leagues.
But it's still...
You don't have a lot of charts.
But honestly, fantasy football at this point is 98% luck. I really think that. And I say this as somebody
I'm glad
who,
you think that.
I'm saying this as somebody who always performs very well, so I would be incentivized to say the opposite. But I really, I don't think that there's a lot of skill involved. I agree.
That's why fantasy baseball and fantasy basketball are better. My mind was blown that Barry said that basketball is now more popular than baseball.
Yeah, on ESPN. Yeah. Well, so, but on ESPN. See, the reason that I love the League of Leagues so much is because, again, to me, the most fun part of fantasy is the draft and then, I guess, trades. The actual games I don't really care about. In the draft, you want it to be dramatic and exciting. So the first year we had an auction was super fun because there was no auction information online. Nobody knew what the hell they were doing. And so the numbers were all over the place. When we did our League of Leagues draft a year and a half ago now by this point, it was so much fun because you had no, like, what are people's strategies?
Nobody knew who to pick. Literally, the first guy did not know who to pick.
I mean, the first overall pick was a guy I would not have taken in the first 30, right?
Totally.
And there's three different sports, and so that's why that's so much more fun. And, you know, the League of Leagues has, after 2 years of it, a couple people have sort of lost interest, and it's been a bit of a challenge. We have to do a better job of recruiting really committed people, I think, next time. But the most fun part is the fact that because there's everybody's going to have a different strategy, which makes it, that's what makes it much more
fun. Hasn't been solved yet. It hasn't been solved like fantasy football has.
Fantasy football, yes, I agree. Fantasy football is like blackjack. You could just follow the rules at this point and just play for luck, basically.
Totally. Yeah. So his buddy Wilker, that's another guy we don't know about, or Wilker, it says.
Wilker
took Bubby Brister in the fourth round. Bubby Brister.
Wait a second.
We gave him so much abuse that Wilker lost the will to live around the ninth round. Eventually, we found him hanging from a belt in the shower like David Keith at the end of Office. It's not a Simmons column unless there's like some, you know, weird pop culture references. Yeah. All right, then he gives some actual advice.
Okay.
Grab at least one quality RB in the first two rounds. Okay, that's fair.
This is like a really novel idea. Don't worry about defenses and kickers. Again, shocking idea.
Don't worry about landing quality receivers early on because there's always a ton of them and they all end up with the same stats. Something like 1,000 yards, 70 catches, same touchdowns. That is literally the worst advice.
Here were his great receivers for 2001. Brandon Stokely and Snoop Minnis.
Wait till late. Last year was Sylvester Morris, who I think was also on the Chiefs, and then they were so happy with Sylvester Morris, they picked Snoop Minnis. Snoop Minnis, I checked, had one very typical third wide receiver season, 500 yards and a touchdown, and then
yards
played
and one
more
touchdown.
Game the rest of his career. One game the rest of his career.
Not ideal. But here's the crazy part. I've never heard of Snoop Minnis in my life. Because the only year of his career that was relevant was the year
he played FSU. He was a big player at FSU. Yeah.
Brandon Stokely's been all over the news this week.
Yeah.
Are you following the news with the Denver radio station and Marquette King and that whole thing?
No. No, I have no idea what you're saying.
So Marquette King, the new punter for, John Gruden ditched him in Oakland. He went to Denver and he gave this interview where for the sports radio station in Denver. And he was not responsive enough. And so they thought he was sort of dogging the interview. And then... Mm-hmm. And then he got in a fight with a different person from that radio station on Twitter. And then one of the other ones said, "You owe Brandon Stokely an apology." He played 15 years in the league because apparently Brandon Stokely's on that station. I don't know, but Brandon Stokely's been in the news lately. 15-year career.
I didn't hear about this.
Good job for him.
Yeah. Okay, last one. Don't ease up after the draft ends. At the conclusion of your draft, strut around the room confidently, muttering to yourself, "I love my team, I love my team." Even if you hate your team and you feel like shooting yourself, don't let this on to the other guys. And make sure you go over everyone else's team while snickering and making comments like, "Fred Taylor should be good for about three games until that hammy starts sagging up again." All right, that probably did happen. Also, during the week following the draft, send out as many emails as possible to the other owners with subject headings like, "From the 2001 champ, when do I get my first place prize money?" And load the emails with insults about everyone else's team. Comes with the territory. Remember, if you're going to become a champion, you need to start acting like one. As Martin Cove told Billy Zabka in The Karate Kid, no mercy, no mercy, no mercy.
Yeah.
Maybe the first Karate Kid reference for Simmons.
Yeah. By the way,
listeners.
That year, Fred Taylor played two games. So.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're not expecting his fantasy advice to have been good.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny how outdated this was.
Reading this column, I actually have to say, I actually miss Simmons having an entertaining column.
He doesn't even have a column anymore.
Yeah. I mean, but
he's
but
literally, his, I, like, he's a retired writer.
Yeah, but he produces nothing. I mean, I still listen to his podcast sort of out of, momentum at this point.
Uh-huh.
But have you gotten, genuine joy from a Bill Simmons product in the last decade?
I don't know if I could, experience genuine joy anymore.
But when his columns used to come out in 2002 or 2003 or 2004, I was, really excited each time, legitimately.
I will say, when the Simmons column came out, I would print it out. I think I've said this before, but I had his complete works in college in a draw in my room, and then people started like bringing them to the bathroom, and they got like ruined. I threw them out, but I had printed out because the semester they accidentally gave us unlimited printing papers due to like a computer error. I just printed out his entire archives. I spent like a whole afternoon doing it. I would bring the old columns to class because class was so boring, and I'd read them in class. I would be so pumped like Friday if I was like signing out on Friday for 24 hours if like his column would post right before I did, and I would like print it out. And then I would like savor it Friday night. I wouldn't read it until I was like ready to read the whole thing. I'll never have that feeling with another writer again for sure. So I know exactly what you're saying. But obviously, yeah. I could never get there again. I like the podcast. I like when Simmons talks to Francesca because it's like my two uncles talking, and it makes me a little nervous.
I hate Francesca so much. I don't understand. I cannot fathom what his appeal is. And especially the kind of people I know who like him.
I think his appeal is that you can't fathom his appeal. Everything he says has so much authority.
What do I mean? He says it as if it does, but it's always wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When he says something, it matters.
It has no authority,
even if it's... Like he says things as if they are proclamations from a king, and that's it.
Yes.
There's no arguing.
Yes. Yeah,
that's his sort of strength.
Being wrong about everything, but confidently wrong.
Yeah, just say things like we should. Anyway, right, this was
so
fun.
Listen, the listeners
it was good
got
speaking
a little
to you.
Bit of Chester.
You should skip
and
the next. Should we do the new segment on our podcast called "Make Fun of Alex Chester"?
Well, I mean, it's gonna be hard with some of your guests who don't know me. Crasher doesn't know
me
that well.
Only
I don't
for
know.
People...
How did you guys manage to make fun of me on that episode?
You're going to see. He laces into you. It's a beauty. Is this coming out before that one?
Yeah, this... Well, I don't know. You tell me how you want to order them. I don't care.
I guess this is Friday and that one will be Monday?
Okay, sure. We don't pot on the weekends, apparently. Don't pot on Shabbos.
No, we could do a podcast on the weekend. What are you going to... We want to post Saturday, Sunday? We don't have enough in the bank.
Yeah, well, in past years, we've done one every day for 32 days.
Yeah, you're not here. You also
already
told me you're taking 8 days off. You said you're going to Orlando with your family, and your wife will divorce you if you do a podcast. So I hope we do 10 podcasts.
So, all right, we're going to post this on Friday, which is August 10th.
Mm-hmm. People already know that because they're listening to this.
Enjoy the weekend. You will, you'll get some Akiva podcasts on another feed if you really want. And then on Monday, we'll be back with a Seattle Seahawks podcast, which won't have me. But we'll have me in the content, apparently.
All right. Yup, these are our listeners.
Bye-bye.